We want to continue our study of the subject of leadership in the church and come back to these verses we talked about already and to point out that elders are to lead, and leadership involves caring for people, not just making decisions from on high. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, we go back to that verse. He, the elder, that is, must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? Again, the word manage here is prohistomi in the Greek, which means to rule or to take care of in this context. And it's actually equivalent to one's managing his own household. I like the way Paul talks about it at the end of the verse in terms of taking care of the church of God. Elders are to care for God's people like they are his own family. The scripture does not envision a man who is a professional pastor who simply does his thing from on high like a member of the Sanhedrin, and he goes home and he has nothing to do with any people anymore. I remember one individual that belonged to a large church, and he was having some struggle, and he asked me for some counsel. And I says, have you asked your pastor about that? And he says, oh, no, my pastor wouldn't have time for me. In this large church, he would have maybe three or four people that he connects with, but beyond that, he's just too many in the church for him to talk to. But it says here that an elder who's a leader is to care for the people, and you can't care for the people from a distance. Elders need to be involved in people's lives. Now, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, it's very clear that leadership involves people's spiritual well-being. Paul speaks to the Ephesian elders who came down to Miletus to meet with him, and he refers to them as overseers of the church, and that they are made by God to be overseers of the church. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, he also refers to elders as those who are in the office of an overseer. It's someone who looks over the flock of God, and who sees the whole flock and takes responsibility for the church, the whole church, not just one little crevice of it. Now, that doesn't mean the elders do everything. That doesn't mean the elders minister one-on-one to everybody in the congregation. But I believe it does mean that everybody in the congregation should have at least one elder that they could go to and that has a sense of caring for them. And that the elders together, because they're involved in people's lives, when they come together to discuss the affairs of the church, they have a sense of really caring for people where they're at. They're not just pew warmers. They're not just people that build up the numbers so that the leaders of the church can see themselves as successful. An elder primarily is one who cares for people where they're at in their spiritual life. He cares about their relationships. He cares about everything that people them care about in their own lives. Now, the church can be large at times, and if you're an elder in a small church, these things might seem to be a little more applicable or easier to put into place. But whatever the size of the church is, one elder can't do it all. And that's why there's a plurality, and together they oversee and watch out for the whole church. Now, when I talked in the earlier session about elders being servants, some people refer to that in such a way that it strips elders of any kind of ruling authority. But First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 13, we get the clear indication from the apostle that the elders do have authority, even as they use that authority as in serving people. Paul says to the Thessalonians, he says, "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord, and give you instruction that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work." Notice he says that they have charge over you. In the original language, guess what? That word is prohistomi again. Here it's used in conjunction with giving instructions, but it is authoritative teaching that is intended to be helpful and encouraging and edifying and uplifting to the people. There is an authority, albeit a humble authority. It's an authority that's derived from the scripture, and as the elder studies the scripture and he teaches with authority to the people, there's a sense of not being a Sanhedrin sort of teaching, but a caring sort of teaching. People will follow those that they believe really do care for them. Jesus spoke of that humble servanthood, not lording it over others, and as elders, we need to constantly remember that we are simply servants, serving God by serving His people. But there is an authority. At times, the elders need to speak with the authority of the Word of God, and the congregation not only needs to submit to that, but they also need to appreciate that. We live in our Western world in a society where authority is always suspect. People in organizational leadership are always suspect of being underhanded or self-motivating for their own purposes. But the authority rests not with the elders, but it rests in the Word of God as the elders administer the Word and they apply it, and as they lead by showing in their lives the Word and instructing people to apply it in their life. Now, I might want to just point out here, and I do it advisedly because it is such an important thing. Paul speaks in terms of elders, those, plural, that labor among you. The Scripture does not envision one man who's at the top of the heap, who's at the pinnacle of the hierarchy, because it's very easy for such an individual to be off track and end up leading for the wrong reasons. But when there's a plurality of leaders, and they're not only looking out after the whole congregation, but they look out and care for themselves, each other. So I, as an elder, I know that I have the other elders that I'm accountable to that have a certain scriptural authority over me, but they care for me, and they love me, and they're going to watch when I stumble and help lift me up, because part of being an elder is overseeing the care of the people, including the other elders. And many pastors wish they had that, those that they could trust, that could speak truth to them in humility, but also with authority. The plurality of leaders, where you have all the leaders equally authoritative before the Lord, equally responsible, is such a tremendous gift to all leaders. It protects the leaders. It guards them in so many different ways. So leading is through teaching with authority. And elders certainly have the authority, because 2 Corinthians 3:16, when we teach the Word of God, all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching and for reproof and for instruction and for training for the works of our Christian life. Now, leading, and I've also always already referred to this, includes modeling. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, "Be imitators of me, as I am of Christ." You see, it's so easy to tell people what they should do, tell people how to apply scriptures, but what people desperately need is to see elders, to see leaders who are applying the scripture first to their lives, and then turn around and show people how it works. It's like when you teach a child how to tie a shoe. Almost every parent has gone through this. You give instruction to the child, but then you bend down and you say, "Here, watch me do it." And you tie your own shoe, and you might even wrap your arms around your child and tie the child's shoe as they watch. And then the child starts doing it together with you, and before long, the child is doing that, simply imitating you as a parent. And one of the most profound ways of leading the people of God is leading through modeling the behavior that we want them to follow. People need to know that their leaders are not hypocritical, saying one thing and doing another. We should feel fully comfortable whenever we teach the Word of God as elders, as leaders, as teachers of God's Word. We should be absolutely comfortable with being able to say to people, at the end of our message, "Watch me how I put this into practice." Now, if you feel uncomfortable doing that, maybe it's because you're teaching things that you haven't yet applied to your own life. As one writer put it, preaching and teaching the Word of God in the church can be a dangerous thing, because we're called to preach that which we haven't yet fully perfected in our life. And certainly there's a certain amount of that. But we're calling people to a standard that we're still striving for ourselves. What they need to see, though, is us modeling the idea of striving. They need to see us when we take our weaknesses and we apply scripture to it. That means authentic leadership begins with being an authentic Christian and living that way in front of people. There is no greater leadership than to show the way by our behavior to Christ-likeness. Now, I want to come back and emphasize what I've already referred to, and that is the elders' leadership is to be recognized and to be appreciated. 1 Timothy agrees with what Paul says to the Thessalonians. He says, "Elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching." And the next verse makes it very clear that he's talking about a financial appreciation. In fact, the leadership of elders is so recognized and is to be recognized to the extent that we want to free up the one who's doing exceptionally well and say, we want you to be fully involved in the teaching ministry and not to have to use up your time in working in secular employment. So we will support you. I think, in my opinion, that that's the idea of financially honoring certain elders. That's the double honor. Being financial remuneration. Now, it's very clear that in that verse that there is a distinction in terms of abilities. Some elders lead well, some elders teach very well, exceptionally well, and it's important to identify that. The minute I say that, I recognize that in our human nature, we tend to want to compare ourselves. My preaching may not be recognized as being as good as somebody else's teaching. And someone thinks my teaching is good, and I get a swelled pride because I compare it with others. And this, the passage in Scripture, 1 Timothy, does recognize some that seem to work harder at the teaching and the preaching and seem to be doing very well at it, and people, I presumably, are being very blessed. And God simply is saying, recognize those individuals. It's not a matter of pride. It's not a matter of ego. It's simply, God has gifted this individual. Let's turn them loose. Let's free them up to do more of that. But leadership comes at different levels. Some, it may be leadership in terms of the whole congregation. So for some, it might be inspirational leaders. Others, it may be organizational leadership. Some may lead by their quiet, subtle influence. Some may lead in smaller spheres, others in larger spheres. But the important thing is that our authority as leaders, as elders in the church, is it doesn't come from us in authoritative personalities or being strong opinionated. It's being rooted in God's Word. And our authority comes from being able to teach God's Word where people recognize it like the Bereans and say, this is what the Scripture says, and therefore we want to be obedient to it. I just want to emphasize one last thing on that subject, and it's not just for the pastor to be the leader. God has called up people at different levels to pastor and a shepherd. What God is envisioning through Paul's teaching here is that it's all the elders are to be involved in the authoritative leading of the church. What I think is the beautiful thing of it is one elder might have a special burden of prayer, so he takes leadership in encouraging the whole church to be involved in prayer. Another might have a particular burden for evangelism, and he takes the lead in stirring the pot for the whole congregation to get involved in evangelism. They each have a different role in leadership. Sometimes it's the group as a whole comes together and they lead as one whole. There is no non-functioning elders. Every one of them is leading in some regard. As a team, God equips elders to lead the church, drawing on each man's particular leadership abilities and skills. Now, there's more we can say about this, and we will address that, and we have addressed that in other sessions. I want to talk in our next session about how administration comes into play, and how we can turn some loose to the benefit of the others.